Pat Walsh joins us, sports commentator and the sports guy who runs sportsguypatwalsh.com, a name that he hired several companies to come up with for him. Pat, welcome to the program.
My world, too, revolves around Ernie, so it's great. It's always just nice to talk to you guys.
As long as we've clarified all here.
Hey, Pat, so when are they going to get Chris Christie to be a goalie for hockey?
He's a big guy, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you have a passion about that. I've been trying to think of some folks that might be good. Kirstie Alley is an excellent choice. You did say Kirstie Alley, right?
No.
Chris Christie. Governor of New Jersey.
Oh, because I was thinking Kirstie Alley with pads. There's no way anyone gets past that.
Now, she's thinned out. She's actually thinned out. In fact, there was a story about her today. She's not living up to the show name Fat Actress anymore. She's lost all that weight.
Well, she's been dancing a lot. Yeah, but Chris, I don't know that he's seen his lap in a long time. But more importantly.
All right, now, I want to talk
not
about.
Not important
your,
in hockey.
I want to talk about your essay on your website. It's Can't We Be Friends? I want to just quote from it here for a moment. I hear so much about the black hole. Talking about baseball, I hear so much about the black hole in Oakland. I'm sure it's seen its share of horrifying moments, but I have, for one, witnessed more violence at baseball games than I ever have at football games. Completely out of hand. I saw a Dodger fan carrying some food and drinks to a seat during a night game at AT&T Park. I vividly remember a Giants fan sucker punching the man who was climbing the steep cement stairs in the upper deck of left field. The man tumbled down the stairs on his back while his expensive food took a dive. As he was falling, another fan got up from his seat and gave the tumbling fan a boot to the ribs for good measure. Now, did you really see that?
Saw it. True story. Upper deck, left field. It was shocking. Fortunately, in that incident, the security showed up fairly quick, but it's too late, you know. I mean, the guy's already been hit. He's already been kicked. He's already gone down the stairs. And it really is true. I mean, being a West Coast guy and attending a lot of baseball games out here, I mean, it's been terrible. You wear your hat to a Giants game. If you're a Dodger fan, you're asking for it. And it's the same thing. You wear your gear to a Dodger game in in Los Angeles. And, it's just the violence is completely out of hand. And you talk about Brian Stowe. The good news about Brian Stowe, he's the Giants fan who was beaten outside of Dodger Stadium by these thugs, really not baseball fans, really criminals. And the good news for this man is that he is gaining some of his motor skills back. He's been able to open his eyes, but doctors still don't know this guy is going to recover. So it's a terrible thing, and it really is true. I've worn my football jersey, which is not a Raider jersey, by the way, into the black hole. I've never been harassed. I think that's a little overblown sometimes.
So what's going on here? Why all of this rage lately?
Why so many stupid people going to baseball games?
You know, I don't know if it's, really when I think about it, I think it's the mixture of it. It's nothing surprising, a mixture of alcohol. You sit in the bleachers, for instance, at Candlestick Park when Candlestick was here. They get rowdy out there for whatever reason. The younger people are out there. They're drinking beer. And, they just have, for whatever reason, whether the game is slow and there's not enough contact, that's the way they seem to take out their aggression.
But this is new, right? I mean, it hasn't been going on for a long time, has it?
Exactly. I mean, and I think that a lot of families, I've seen it myself numerous times, the playoffs last year, families walking down the street and really being verbally assaulted by fans for wearing a wrong jersey. It scares children. It's senseless. I mean, we should be able to wear our gear to a baseball game or to a venue, a sports venue, without being harassed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you have the pinheads show up and do that kind of thing, but I guess that's going to be true probably in every venue out there. Although,
yeah, exactly.
if security would just explain to folks that if you're caught doing something like that, you will be thrown off the upper deck, then perhaps they wouldn't do that.
Harsher measures, yes. I mean, that's not bad.
I remember when I was a kid, I remember going to the Astrodome. They used to have something called foamers, and there was a little red light on both sides of the outfield. And if that red light was on and an Astro hit a home run, it was free beer till the seventh inning until people started dying in drunk driving accidents after the game. I mean, you'd literally see people in sprinting position ready to run up the aisle when that light came on.
I don't know why I don't like sports.
I don't either. You got a bad attitude.
Mystery.
Well, maybe they've learned from some of those promo nights back in the 70s. Yeah. You know.
Those were the days, huh? Okay.
Good old days.
Okay, now let me jump to the NFL because I'm getting mixed stories about whether or not they're going to start on time. And now the NBA, they're having a collective bargaining problem. In fact, they're going to be, that expires next week.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it? It's tough enough to try to even figure out what's going on in the NFL collective bargaining agreement negotiations, which, yeah, I agree with you. There is some sense that they may get this thing done because, let's face it, if they're going to have a football season, they need to get it done now because they need that time for training camp, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, it's nerve-wracking enough if you're a football fan to follow along with that. Now, of course, now you get to if you're an NBA fan, follow along with the fact that they're having negotiation problems and maybe they won't have a season next year. So,
all right, let me turn this into the McLaughlin group here. NBA draft, Pat Walsh. Tell me about what do you think about the draft?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was a surprise. Kyrie Irving going to the Cavaliers with the top pick. I think most people expected that. Very limited experience. Played 11 games for Duke. He had some injuries. I think really the most interesting part of the draft was, where was Jimmer Fredette going to go? You're talking about the nation's leading scorer at the collegiate level, the guard out of BYU. And interesting to see that three-way trade that took place yesterday and that Jimmer Fredette lands in Sacramento, which could fit his game. I think that they talk about his defense. He's been criticized for his inability to play defense, but certainly I think Coach Paul Westphal will be a good mentor for him, a defensive coach, and I think he certainly is a smart enough kid, and I think he's going to learn how to play defense. So I think it'll be a nice dynamic duo there in Sacramento. We have Jimmer Fredette and Tyreke Evans in the backcourt.
Now, there was a draft pick made, I think it was by the Minnesota Timberwolves. I have to ask you about this guy, 6'6". They took him from the Qatar League overseas. His name is Tanguy Ngombo, and they thought he was 21 years old. Turns out he's 26. Whoops. Nobody did their homework on that one.
Not me. I didn't do it either. I mean, this draft had a lot of international flair.
Yeah.
Yes. That was probably the craziest story in the draft. And I just love some of the names, too, coming out of this draft. Bisbak Biyombo, that's one of the good ones. But, yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, one guy came from the Bakersfield Jam. Jeff Van Gundy had no idea who the guy was from the Congo. But, I mean, very interesting draft for the international players.
All right, Pat Walsh online at sportsguypatwalsh.com. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.